Praise the Lord. Praise God. Can we have some volume, please? Amen. And I hope the two sides are working. I'm not sure if the other side is on. Praise God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for another day in your presence. We know that there is nothing we have been able to do of ourselves. Everything that is being done here has been done through your Spirit and to your glory. Lord Jesus, as we go into your word this morning, we pray your blessings upon your people in Jesus' name. Father, come enlighten our hearts, O Lord. Father, come and bless us as we hear your word in Jesus' name. Lord, open our understanding afresh. Lord, so that after we have done all this, after we have served you, O Lord, that we may inherit your kingdom in Jesus' name. We want to reign as kings and priests upon the earth, O Lord. That divine power, that divine assignment, that divine authority, that divine separation will be our portion from today in Jesus' name. All the glory will be given to you because of the great things you will do in this service. Blessed be your name, O Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise God. We are welcome to the presence of the Almighty God again. I know it's not long ago we all left this place. So it's probably just fresh, like you slept in the church. Amen. You know, we will just continue from where we stopped yesterday. We are looking at the second coming of Christ. The second coming of Christ, that's what we've been looking at for some time. We said this is so vital because all said and done. That is why we are doing all the things we have been doing in the house of God and the way we live our lives. It does not matter the material blessings we have. It does not matter the position we attain. The Bible says it is appointed unto man to die only once, after which there is the judgment. It is appointed to every one of us, if the Lord tarries, that we are going to depart this world. But the big question we must always ask ourselves is, where are we going to spend eternity if we do not live in the consciousness of eternity? Do you know Christianity can be a religion? Christianity simply becomes a religion for us. We just mark time, becomes a routine. We come in, we walk in and walk out. You know, we file in, we file out, and nothing changes in our lives. Our lives will change for good in Jesus' name. We know that the Bible says that the same way that Jesus was taken to heaven, in like manner he will return. And last week we talked about some of the signs that will show us when Jesus is about to come back. We said one of the first things that suffers is our relationship with God. We said the love of many will start to wax cold. We will not want to hear sound doctrine anymore. We begin to rationalize and give excuses for the things we are not doing well. Every excuse we give from today, they are broken down in Jesus' name. Because What the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of what? Of truth. When he comes, he will reveal all truth to us. He reveals the word of God to us. So when we are still hiding behind one finger, it means we don't have the Spirit of God in us. When they say it, we just simply rationalize it. You know, it doesn't matter. It's not important. That's not, you know, how many people do this, how many people do that. It's not the one that determines whether you are a good Christian or not. It's not. No, if it's not worth doing, it will not praise God. I've been saying it. Everything that's written in the Bible, I will preach. So our relationship with God is what starts to suffer. And then we said that the environment itself will witness upheaval. The Bible says there will be war and rumors of war. Do you know that, I don't know how many of us listen to the news of recent, do you know that in Norway there's so much security there. People are so comfortable with each other that the prime minister would trek to the office. All the parliamentarians, they trek on the street to the office. That is how peaceful Norway has been. Do you know what? Somebody went in there and killed about 85 people 2 days ago. So there's terror there, even now. Tell me, are there not wars and rumors of war everywhere? People are afraid. The Lord will give you his peace in Jesus' name. It's a sign that the coming of Jesus is at hand. The environment is not spared too. I mean, the natural environment is not spared. You hear of volcanic eruption there. You hear of ash clouds. You hear of, flood and all sort of disasters. The Bible says when these things are happening, Jesus hasn't come yet, but is to tell us that the coming of the Lord is at hand. We say, what do we need to do to be ready for his coming? We said the starting point for us to get ready for the coming of the Lord is to accept that his provision in Jesus Christ is adequate. It's all that we need. We must not be one of those who have to think twice before we say, yes, Jesus is the only way. Praise God. We said, look, once you accept this, the Lord wants you to make confession and repent of your sins and come under his lordship. We said we can find that in John 3, 16 to 18. We said we must not continue to look at trying our own ways of purging ourselves, but we must avail ourselves of the provisions of God in Jesus Christ. And that we need to continue to live a sanctified life. And I want to believe if you took anything home last week, it will be in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. The Bible makes us to understand that to fear God and to do the commandments of God, to obey his commandment, is the whole duty of man. And we said whole means whole. Any other thing that comes, the blessing that comes with it, is an addition. Because the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things shall be what? Added. All the wonderful, the beautiful things that God is doing in your life, they are additions to the foundational truth of God in your life. Let's open our Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, 16 to 21. Galatians 5, 16 to 21. Sorry, Galatians 5. Hmm. 16. He said, "These I say then, walk in what? In the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Praise God, yes. So your flesh and your spirit are always, and the Spirit of God are always doing what? Competing. They are in competition. They are in competition. You have to decide who is to prevail in your life. The Spirit of God will prevail in your life in Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Is the book of Galatians in the New Testament? Is it in the New Testament? Ah, praise God. I thought I'm the only one who is seeing it in the New Testament. Amen. In fact, if there is any place that the dispensation of grace was emphasized so well, in which book in the Bible? Eh? It's Galatians. If there's any place at all that the Bible espoused or expanded on grace, is where? It's in Galatians. Because the Galatians thought that by works they could be saved. And Paul wrote to them that it is not by work, lest any man should boast, but by grace. He said, that's why he said, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has taught you? Were you led to God through the way of works or through the way of faith?" But in the same book, Paul was telling the Galatians, so in case somebody starts to tell you because of grace, we can live the way we like. I think I told us before, there was a man that came to this church. He was one of the intercessors. One day we went for house fellowship. Most people did not come, so I was left alone with him. You know, it's good as pastor to have the opportunity to actually speak to people on one-to-one, so you know where they stand in the things of God. And this man started telling me, he said, if you are somebody's son or somebody's daughter, he will never say, because you are his son or his daughter, he doesn't know you anymore. So irrespective of whatever you do, once you become saved, it's immaterial. Praise the Lord. Some people, is the way of Balaam. That's what the Bible call it. Go and read Revelation very well. It talks about the way of Balaam. All those who preach that once saved is forever saved, irrespective of the way you live, they are lying. That's what we have just read here. Because when you look at the last verse, it says, "Oh, those who do such things, what's going to happen to them?" Verse 21. He said, that they which do such things shall not what? Shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It's not only fornication, oh. He said, if you are a child of God, when someone else has something, you say you must get it too. If you don't get it, if somebody is put in a position, instead of working hand in hand with them to make sure they succeed, you want to bring them down as a proof that you are better. Envy. He said, he classifies you with fornicators and adulterers. That's what he says. He said, for they that do such things will not do what? Inherit the kingdom of God. Envy. My car is bigger than yours. My shoes shine better than yours. All those things. He said, look, there are little things that can distract us from the kingdom. He said, people who do such things, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. That is why when people come to this church, I want you to come with the heart of the servant. Come. And God himself will lift you up in Jesus' name. But the most important is that we make the kingdom of God. That we enter, we inherit the kingdom of God. He said, they that do such things. Look at some of the things that we just see as little things. Witchcraft. I hope most of us understand the spirit of witchcraft. The spirit of witchcraft is the spirit of Jezebel. Do you know the meaning of that? Many people think when they say witchcraft, you have to be flying at night. Praise God. It is the spirit of intimidation for the purpose of control. You remember what Jezebel did? He intimidated Naboth. Eh? He intimidated Naboth. People who try to intimidate others for the purpose of controlling them. That's Jezebel's spirit. It's not whether you put eyeshadow or pencil. Eh? That's not the spirit of Jezebel. The spirit of Jezebel is when, you know, you like to intimidate people to take over. He framed Naboth up until they stoned him to death. And then gave the vineyard to her husband. That's what the Bible. And of course, disobedience of all kinds. You will make it in Jesus' name. Our attitude must be that of a perpetual readiness for the coming of Jesus. In other words, it's a long-time race that we have to run as if we are sprinting. So we are ready all the time. Because we know not the day, nor the time, nor the hour when he shall appear. We don't know. Some people, I remember there was a song that the Ekwa people used to sing. They said some were on the farm. One was taken and the rest were left behind. Some were on their way to get water. One was taken and some were left behind. So people will be doing various things. You don't know the time. So that's why we have to be ready. Some people will be eating at that time. Some people will just be abusing their neighbor at that time. Some people will be busy fighting at that time when he will come. So what will he meet you doing? Some people will be keeping malice when he will come. Some people wouldn't have forgiven when he arrives. Ah, the Lord will meet you doing what is right and precious in his sight when he comes in Jesus' name. He may even come tomorrow. He may even come later tonight. For some people, before his arrival, they may even go up there. You don't know when. So, brethren, let us be ready. I say, let us be ready. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4 to 8. 1 Thessalonians 5, 4 to 8. 1 Thessalonians 5, 4 to 8. If you get there before me, please quickly read. So he said, you are not in darkness so that this thing happens to you suddenly.
Of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do.
Therefore, let us not do what?
Sleep. As others do. But let us watch and be sober.
Praise God.
Those who sleep at night. Okay. And those who get drunk are drunk at night.
Praise
God. Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and a helmet of hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord. So who are the people sleeping? What does the Bible mean to sleep? You remember we've talked about it before. We must not be like them that sleep. Sleep means different things in the Bible. There's the natural sleep. Sometimes when the Bible says sleep, it actually means physical death. And the reason the Bible says sleep is because he knows we are going to reign with Christ. We are going to rise again and reign with him. But there's also the people that sleep and slumber. What does that mean? It means people who are not in readiness. People who forget themselves. People who lose concentration. People who lose their focus. So in other words, what the Bible is telling us, the sleep the Bible is talking about is that we must not lose focus. Because the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the ultimate. He's the final destination of where we are going. Praise the Lord. That is the place where we are going. He's the final destination for us. So how will I know when Jesus comes? How will I know? Of course, those who are asleep, you know what I mean, may not know. Because they are not watchful. They are like the five foolish virgins. Verse 8 of where we have just read, he said, but we belong to the day. Therefore, let us be sober and put on the breastplate that is corset of faith and love, and for a helmet is hope of salvation. So we are people who are watching and praying. I like that hymn. We have not been singing that hymn. Watch and pray. You know, we have to watch and pray. He said, Christian, don't think you have come to rest yet. Hear what God is saying to you. We have to do what? We have to watch and pray. We have to be people who are watching, people who are praying, people who, you know, who are expecting the coming of the Lord. How many times have you been driving or left to yourself and you actually desire the coming of the Lord? That is when you start to know that you are a Christian. When you start to desire the coming of the Lord, you are by yourself and you are desiring him to come. Lord, be so wonderful to have you. You remember Peter? Oh, he said it will be so good, it will be so wonderful, it will be so pleasing to make, you know, for you, Lord, three tabernacles, one for you, one for Elijah, one for, you know, he was expecting the coming of the Lord. You know, we have to be expecting his coming. We have to expect the revelation of God. We have to expect, you know, his coming. When you start to expect the coming of the Lord, you know, something has happened in your life. It means that you are ready. Praise God. There was the story of this woman. The woman who wrote the song, His Eyes is on the Sparrow. There was an earthquake in the U.S. when she was in her 70s. So somebody went to visit her and she was lying on her bed. And they said, what happened to you? When the earthquake occurred, what were you doing? He said, I just said, Lord, you know my number, you know my address, I'm ready. I'm just waiting for you, I'm ready. Praise God. He was ready. We will be ready for him in Jesus' name. His coming will be known to the living and the dead. The same First Thessalonians, let's look at chapter 4, we'll read verse 13 to 18. First Thessalonians 13 to 18.
life on the day the Lord comes will not go ahead of those who have died. There will be the shout of command, the archangel's voice, the sound of God's trumpet, and the Lord himself will come down from heaven. Those who have died believing in Christ will rise to life first. Then we who are living at that time will be gathered up along with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. So then, encourage one another with these words.
Praise God. I'm encouraging you with this morning in Jesus' name. That is the hope we have. That is the hope we have. Oh, if you think those who have gone, where would they be? The Bible is even telling us that they are going to rise first. And then those of us, if the Lord tarries and we are still standing on our 2 feet, then we will join them. You will not be missing in action on that day in Jesus' name. Let's quickly look at Revelation chapter 1 verse 7. So the heralding of his coming will fill all the earth, because every eye shall see him in the clouds. The Bible says the same way that he went to heaven, he will in like manner return. He will in like manner do what? Return. Revelation chapter 1 verse 7. How many people will see Jesus coming in the cloud? All people. You will see him. I will see him. All flesh will see the Lord coming in the cloud. So it's not going to be a hidden business. So it's not as if he's going to sneak in and just say, look, you have done well. I've just, you know, I'm taking... The Bible says all eyes will see him. In other words, people will see you caught up in the cloud with Jesus. How wonderful, how glorious it will be when we are there. As I told us yesterday, from the moment he comes, some of us will be jobless. That's why we have to start praising him. Praise God. We'll start to sing hallelujah. We'll start praising God. That's all we are going to be doing. There will be no more preaching to anybody. There will be no more serve the Lord. There will be no more, you need to do this for God. You need to do that. You need to live holy. No. All those things, they will become immaterial anymore. All that we, those of us who will make it, because I'm going to make it in Jesus' name. It is not by my power, but by the grace of God upon my life, I will make it in Jesus' name. We are going to be singing praise unto the Almighty God. We are going to be singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy. We are going to join the 24 elders and we start to sing the praise of God forever and ever and ever and ever. It will never end. Praise God. I'm really getting excited. And it will be made plain for all to see, because the way he ascended is the way he will descend. That's what we have read. Can we just rise on our feet this morning? Why don't we just thank God for his word? Say, Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. We give you praise. We give you glory. Lord Jesus, I want to reign with you. Tell him you want to reign with him. Father, I want to reign with you. Every obstacle in my way, Father, remove it, O Lord. Both within and outside of me, remove them in Jesus' name. Jesus said, if your eye, one of your eyes, will make you stumble and not make it, you'll remove it. If one of your hands will stop you, you will remove it. Say, Father, everything that will stop me from reigning with you when you shall come, Father, remove it. Let it be far from me in Jesus' name. Everything that will be a barrier, everything that will hinder me, Remember blind Bartimaeus. When Jesus called him, the first thing he did was to throw away the garments that identify him as a beggar. That thing which is holding you back this morning, do away with it. And say, Lord, everything that is holding me back, Father, remove them from me. Is it unforgiveness? Is it my own, my willful nature? Is it my pride? Is it my achievement? Anything, oh Lord, that will stand between me and eternity. My Father, my God, you are the surgeon. Sever me from them, oh Lord. Anything that will take eternity away from me, oh Lord, take it away from my life in Jesus' name. You are the best that can happen to me. Reigning with you is the best thing that can be the end of my life, oh Lord. Therefore, I will make it. I will make it. I will make it. I will reign with you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.